All right. This is going to be done in two stages. Deeply lurking in each one of your awarenesses is one particularly painful view of yourself that cripples your ability to enjoy your life. So if you would please just identify what that is. Give it either a word or a series of words. Be very specific about it. This can be something physical, it can be mental, it can be emotional. Some way of being that you cannot reconcile and allow in your life. A way of being that you fight against constantly. Please identify that just gently and sweetly. Now, having identified it, I want you, please, to spend just a little while repeating that phrase about yourself. I am, whatever it is. I am, and the same thing, again and again. Just please put all of the power of your awareness on this, my friends. I want you to pay attention. Pay attention first to how your body feels before you begin. Find yourself doing it, paying attention to how your body feels as you begin to do it. And when the music stops, stop. Do you understand? But one of the main focuses is before you begin, take a energy check of your physical body. How does it feel? All of the areas of it. All of it. Just run through the energy strands and then begin the process. Does everybody understand? Thank you. I won't let it go on too long. Any words spoken? I want you to sense in your body not the opposite of that, but what energy that could come and move through you as through the fields of grain and have some kind of transmutation take place. What energy would you select? Find it. Not the opposite of it. Because solution is usually not in the opposite of the polarities, but comes from another order of things. What of those great and vast energy fields could you now begin to say, I am whatever it is? So the same process now, only this time using the I am and the I am being the vaster energy field. Now please pay attention to what happens. Thank you. This is going to be longer. When you are finding yourself uninspired by this anymore, just begin, please, to go back to the breathing, to hearing the music moving through you, to being totally present in this moment, seated in your chair or on the floor, as that which is open energy with sound moving through you. That's simple as it can be. Sound of the music moving through you. Now visualize that vortex of energy. Please visualize it in any way that seems reasonable to you, moving through and carving new shapes in you. My friends, that's all you need to dwell on. It moves through you, carving new shapes. Don't ask what that shape means. It's just carving you just as it carves the fields. Just allow this energy to carve new roadways, new shapes within you. This energy is the shape changer. Just allow that to happen. Just allow it. Make it as real as you possibly can, please. So that part of you that is the mental, that part of you that is the memory of limitation, if you could put that aside, just be willing to put it aside and just to begin to hear. You have no idea how holy every moment of your life is. You think that certain moments are holy when you're doing holy things. If you are doing unholy things, then there is no holiness in it. This is false. What we have been leading to this day is this. Every instant of every moment, that which is the creative God principle is creating with you, changing itself and you as well. That process is going on all the time. Do you remember years ago, I brought up the idea that no matter what your little ego was doing, something else was going on. Do you remember? I said, something else is always going on that has nothing to do with what you're paying attention to. That is the salvation of your consciousness. If all that was going on was what you identify as your ego doing what it's doing, all of you, my friends, would have committed suicide a long time ago, and I mean that as a literal fact. When someone commits suicide, it is usually because they have created around them such a dense field of consciousness that no matter where they look, all they can see is a repetition of their limited ego nature. And in that desperation to get out of the box, all they can think of to do is to break the envelope open and hope that something takes place. All of the time, no matter what your small, focused awareness is doing, there is this magnificent majesty of creation going on constantly. It is that creation which transforms the cells in the liver and gives you a new one should you want one. It's that energy that puts you into a sleep state at night and then to a deeper sleep state so that you awaken with new hope no matter how slim. It is this process that gives you in the moment of a terrible extremity the calm, the clarity, and the vision to do what you need to do. What is all that? Who is doing all that? What is all of that? I would like to have you dwell on the possibility that that is the true I of your consciousness. That it is that I that is, I am the I am. The I am that is the I am. Which is the I of you in your vast sense, which is the I of God in its vast sense, combined in some magnificent alchemy of creation that is constantly carving you. You are constantly being sculpted by, if we want to get very romantic, the divine sculptor. You are constantly being reshaped, reformed. My friends, the parts of you that can be reshaped without your approval are going on all the time. This whole awareness that the body is constantly being reshaped, a new hope, every moment, a new reality possible. So the parts that can be done without your cooperation is going on all the time. The part of you that has to have the cooperation, which is what I would call the limited, finite self, is the part that does not feel this constant change of sculpting. Now, my friends, listen. You are all aware that you change your mind all the time. Are you not aware? You know, you don't know. Today you like green peas, tomorrow you hate them. You know, it goes on constantly. Yes, I like. No, I don't. I want. I don't want. I've got it. I hate it. All this going on. All the time. Changing. Oh, now I like you. Now I hate you. Now I love you. Now get. I never want to see you. Go. All this going on. Now, all that is changing, but that is not sculpting. If I could put it this way, that's hacking around. There's no sense of the harmony and the beauty and the balance that comes from the true sculpting of things. That part of you that you call that personal, personified persona yearns to be sculpted in the same way that the rest of you is constantly being sculpted. Something is going on all the time. Things are moving through you, around you, within you, under you, endlessly. You blend in this room into some kind of magnificent, magnificent kind of a harmony of color and sound and motion. All of these things, if you ever doubt it, go to a football game. And you will find, you know, in the height of all of this, something is going on. There is, you know, something is being dynamically, dramatically created. Now, that isn't sculpting in the sense that we're speaking of today. I'm asking you to be willing to bring that part of you that is your personal identity and present it as a possibility of having it be sculpted. Now, what is all this wind mean? You feel disharmony. You feel hurt. You feel unloved. You feel isolated. You feel whatever it is. You know that that is a disharmonious feeling. There's nothing balanced in it. It feels uncomfortable. And if in your pain you act out against someone else and create something in them, there is within you the residual pain that you have caused others' pain. I would like you to contemplate, in the moment when you have created that pain, to be willing to allow it to have its shape changed for you by this vast energy field that is constantly changing everything. It hovers in and around that which you call your ego. We have talked about it in the past as a very, very dense sphere placed on the face of a magnificently alive sphere of consciousness, which is the total psyche. And all the rest of this magnificent sphere is being sculpted, changed constantly. Absolute excitement. You know, God is not boring. And as you know, it, not at all. And to add to it, God is not bored. Thank you. God is not bored. God is in a state of excitement about being God and about being a part of the sculpting and the shape changing and the now this and the now that. You know, for the God consciousness, change is ecstatically wondrous because it's extension. It is constantly experiencing itself ever new. Do you understand? As it blends with whatever is going on, it experiences itself in a new way. And that is fascinating. Where you get stuck is you keep experiencing yourself the same way. You know, it is the little mouse going around the treadmill. Oh, I know what happens. You know, A says this to me, and I do this, and then we do that, and then we both do this, and then, you know, the patterns. You go down the same street to work, you see the same house, you know what dogs look like, you know. Oh, this repetition, you go down the same roads of consciousness over and over and over again, which you find, and the net result is you say, I'm bored. I am bored. Yes. because you keep creating the same thing over and over and over again. And I'm asking you to be ready inside of you at that moment. You say, how do I do that? Sounds wonderful. How do I do it? Oh, here we go. You do it by doing it. You do it by the willingness to say, I want to change the shape of this. I don't want it to feel this way. I don't want it to respond this way. I want something new. Without specifying, without saying, you know, don't go into the opposites of polarity. You know, someone says, you know, it's obvious. You know, don't go into the polarities of things. Go to the verities. Go to the eternal verities, those things that are energy fields that are eternally present, waiting, lurking around, waiting. Is it my turn? Do you think they'll pick me today? I'm exaggerating. But, you know, the idea of, well, are they going to, here's love talking, or whatever it might be. Maybe today I'll be chosen, you know, personification. But nevertheless, in some very intimate way, it is that way. You know, we've said for all these years that all of these vast powers await your beckoning. And when you begin to understand the holiness of what you're doing, then you begin to be excited. All right, let's go back to the why this is holy. Let us assume that it is a common denominator in all of your consciousness that peace is more expanding than hatred. I'm just making that an assumption. It may not be true for all, but let's just say for most people. Peace is more expansive, more harmonious than hatred and resentment and vindictive response. All right. Now, where the holy moment comes in, where the excitement of the expansion and this whole process comes into focus, is when you, as the mature conscious experiencer of your own energy, let me say that again, as the conscious experiencer of your own energy, meaning that you're paying attention, that somebody in there is awake and paying attention and saying, something's happening, I know, let's feel it, what is it, what is it? Get out of your mind that thinks, what is it, and say, let the power of the energy say, what is it, sit with it, softly sit with it, feel it, allow it, allow it, allow it. And in that simple allowing of it, with the yearning, this is the important part, with the yearning to have its shape changed, to have one of those eternal powers move and change the field of your consciousness, it will begin softly to happen, and you have got to be patient. You know, this is the day of the quick fix. And if it doesn't work in a certain length of time, forget it. Let's try something else. Oh, that didn't work. Well, let's forget it. This. It's not going to work. The quick fix is not going to work, except in some amazingly special cases. We always talk about Paul and Saul and all of that wonderful business, because that was a shape change of an amazing magnitude. Here is this poor bloke just, you know, going down the road on his way. You know, he's going to go and make trouble for this troublemaker. And, you know, Jesus is making a mess of things. So this gentleman, Saul, is going to see what's going on. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, except out of his yearning, you see, there was the yearning. There was this feeling inside of him. He had heard all of the wonderful stories. He had heard all of the transformative stories about this troublemaker, Jesus. He'd heard them. And a part of him said, bah, humbug, can't be true, can't be true. Another part said, oh my God, I hope it's true. The other part that I hope with all my being that it is true, that there is such a being can walk this earth, can talk, can share, can heal, can save, can love, can. I am praying with all my being. And that's you. You're no different. Part of you fighting one way, the other part on your knees praying that this is the truth. You're no different. Not any different. And in that moment, what happened was 50% got transcended and 51% was present. And he wanted it so much more that he brought his own moment to himself. He called with the whole field of his consciousness, let this be true. And let me know that it is true. And it was. The important thing to remember is that he had studied this activity of this rabble-rouser. He had not just heard it in passing. He had examined it deeply. He had listened to the stories. He had collected information. He was an information collector about it from all kinds of people. And so he had done, if I could put it this way, his homework. He knew what he was examining, as I ask you to know what you are examining. What do you want? And if it helps to examine the lives and the words and the works of people who have examined it and made it real, then please humble yourself and do them. Read them. Hear them. Please. Fill yourself full of their realities. Gather the data of their miraculous knowing, so that it is a part of you, so that your yearning will increase. You have got to increase your yearning. Now, many of you choose to do it through pain and suffering. I say, bah, humbug, stop it. Stop it, stop it. You don't have to do it through pain and suffering. You don't have to go to the end of it in order to do it. You do not. Then what is the alternative? You begin to accumulate your data. You become the Saul that becomes Paul. You begin to gather around you the knowing, the information, the experiences of people just like yourself. And believe me, Saul was just like you. Sometimes when we talk about Jesus, we get to another realm, don't we? Because, you know, he's different in some way. Well, let's just talk about Saul. Very ordinary. Very ordinary fellow. But the accumulation for him is the accumulation for you, and that is your sweet responsibility. However you choose to do it, you have come at the perfect time. There is ever around on this planet, from all cultures, information that comes and says, it is real. You don't have to go any further than this life after life with Dr. Moody telling you about these wonderful creatures, you know, these magnificent spheres of power and energy that appear to people who are dying, and they just love them. Now, does everybody have millions of people? Are they having a mass, you know, hallucination? Or is there perhaps the possibility, I know it's absurd, is it the possibility that they really have experienced these things? That there isn't some collusion around the planet? That people, you know, in Burma have the same one as people in Rome, as do in Cairo, as do? Is there possibly the opportunity? My friends, if you want to accumulate data for belief, to vitalize the journey, there is plenty of it around, and I ask you to access yourself to it. Instead of accessing material for what I would consider the doom and the gloom, which is certainly there as well, to be the responsible one who gets the data. Now, I mean something even more specific. Let us say that you are a school teacher and you go to class with the intention that day of amassing data so that you can build the power base for your retro rocket ascent into who you already are. You know, you want to go someplace and there's no place to go. You remember that. The journey that goes nowhere, and all those words. As you walk into the classroom, the choice is there. You can go in with the absolute sweet, gentle determination to amass all of the data of the goodness, the beauty, the wonder, the spontaneity, the harmony of life. Or you can go in to amass a whole other kind of data. I would like to suggest to many of you who are in relationships, that's with your parents or with your children or with your lovers or with your boss or your employers, whatever it is, as you walk into the room, you are not there to amass new data. You are there to get proof of what you've already amassed. And as you walk into the situation, you go ready to see the same thing. Oh, yes, it's going to be the same. I know what he looks like. I know she's going to do this, and that one's going to do that, and that one's going to do this, and I know it's going to be. All right, that is going in. Please understand, you are helping to sculpt the moment. And you are helping to carve out an incredibly creative moment. And if you go in there willing and ready to create it like you had it yesterday, it's going to look exactly like it looked yesterday. But if you go in with the intention of, if you can just feel it in yourself, of carving a new way of seeing, of just looking at someone and being willing to carve them a little differently, to let things move, to not be so stuck. You know, that stuck thing. Oh, you'll always be like that. And you know, how many of you, your parents say, well, you are what you are and that's that. Wrong. And right. Wrong in one sense, totally right in another. But your willingness to be the shape changer. Remember that the energy changes the field as well as the field changing the energy. And as you walk and carve your life, you absolutely change its quality. Absolutely. That is called dynamic creation. It's called creating from the groundswell of being. And it is always your choice. As you go in with your awareness ready to do that, by simply walking into the experiment, willing to see something new comes. It does not stay static. If you don't like your life, you can change it. If you don't like your emotions, you can carve something much more harmonious for yourself. But the choice is yours. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'd like us to practice sculpting. Thank you. All right, then. A little bit of clarification on shape changing. It's used in many different cultures. And in some cultures, in some traditions, the words are used to infer that you can change the visual, physical shape of something. This could be called shape changing. There was a field, and then something happened, and there was a change in the field. And that's one way to understand it. But I think perhaps for our purposes, what we need to really have you hear is the intimate, ongoing immediacy of the changing. Anytime you're bored, just stop and say, what's changing in me now? I mean this literally. To settle down, to become at ease, and to be willing to begin to feel, this is a very important word, to feel the changing that's going on. You see, the last part that gets it is that which we've described as your ego, body, mind, which continually goes around and around, thinking that it sees the same thing day after day. Now, you all know that things, for example, someone can come into your life who has a mustache. He can shave it off. You can be with him for 3 hours and not really notice that he's shaved off his mustache. Now, you don't expect to see things change. You expect things to be the same. And therein lies the deadliness of it. It's not evil. It's just deadly and boring. Deadly in the sense that it doesn't give you any sense of life. It gives you a sense of death and dying and decay and the sameness. The one thing about consciousness, I think that people who are in drama prefer drama to sameness. Which is one reason, I think, why some of you create so much drama, because that's more fun than this feeling of sameness. So at the same time that all of that be true, I think what you, if you could get deeply within your awareness, something is going on every moment. Changes are being made in you physically, mentally, and emotionally, and certainly spiritually, whatever that means to you, all of the time. And when you can begin to live your life from the perception of someone who is looking for, anticipating, and wanting to observe the changes, things turn. Because most of you, my friends, have the opposite thing, which is, please come in, the opposite thing, which is, I don't want it to change. Please keep everything the way it is. Even if it's miserable, at least I feel a predictability in my misery. So therefore, it's familiar to me. My life may be screaming with boredom, but at least it's predictable. Now, one of the reasons why people begin envisioning such things as earth changes and all this is because, you know, they found, for example, in countries during the Second World War that were under attack, and when the cities and the townships were under attack, a certain aliveness came to the people. They seemed to bond together in some kind of camaraderie of love and beauty and service and faith. When the earthquake happened in various, for example, San Francisco and so on, all of the coming together of the caring, the nations of the world come together in times of disaster. That's when they come together in times of disaster. Now, let's just think very carefully. If one of the aims is to bring this world together, and if disaster is what brings it together, then what is it that you are all going to try to manifest in order to have this come about? You know, you want one world. If your mind says unity comes through disaster, then you are going to, as a collective unconscious, remember, this is a collective reality, not just you as your own personal self, because some of you seated in this room may have transcended this and no longer believe it. But as a mass awareness for the planet as a whole, this is what they have within them. Now, even the most, the country behaving the most outrageously is in their own way doing it, they are in their own way moving toward what they know best as to bring about a state of unity. And whether the results look disastrous or not, nevertheless, that feeling inside is wanting to move toward wholeness. All psyches yearn for wholeness. That is absolutely the truth. So if you can't say anything else nice about someone, say, well, somewhere in their psyche they're yearning for wholeness, but they're certainly not doing a very good job of it. Right? Or whatever you need to use as the follow-up statement. But the reality inside your being that I ask you to realize is that as this movement is, this urgency is coming on the planet to have a whole planet, so that the planet will have a new life and not go down the road that is a possible disaster. There is going to come into the psyche of many people that this unification comes through war. Now, you have, as an obvious statement in the last few years, the Soviet Union. Remember many, many years ago, I told you, don't worry about the Soviet Union. Do you remember that, those of you that have been with this low these many years? I said, don't worry about the Soviet Union. They are so much like you. You are so much like them. There are so many points of similarity that you have between you. They are not the ones who are going to carry your projection, and you are not going to carry theirs. It's going to be another culture that has nothing almost visibly in common with your similarities. Do you understand? And so we have a rising, and I don't want to dwell too long on it, but I know it's in many of your awarenesses, and Mary Margaret was asked at the break to touch on it if possible. So arising out of what you call the Middle East, and isn't it wonderful? It's the Middle East. I love it, the Middle East. It's a fascinating choice. And out of that is coming, if you've listened to any of the things that are being said don't really have a lot of connection with the kinds of beliefs that you have. The whole tenor of their faith carries a different lineage. All right, so what is the point of all of this? Am I here to frighten you? No. I'm here simply to remind you yet again, and I will no doubt become very boring, and remind you again and again, as the last few years wind down for us together, is that, let's say it the other way, wind up for us together, that the responsibility so deeply within you is to get to the moment of realizing that in this moment the shape changing is going on. And that as you change the shape here in this moment, no matter whether you can see it or know it or in any way be aware of it, somewhere out there in this vast networking of consciousness, things are affected. You know, again, we say quantum physics. What do they say? They say it's all this magnificent spider web, and you move it over here. You set one molecule in one direction here, and way over here, something happens. There is a connection. There is a reticulata, a networking, a web working of awareness, and all moves with the all. Now, obviously, my friends, it's obvious to you that if the great mass believe that you are going to unify through bifurcation and difficulty, then that's what you will do. But I would like to again suggest that there is growing out of this marvelous world the hope of something different. Now, that means that you are going to have to change the shape of your own awareness. Now, if you are being honest, and I know that inside in your quiet moments, you are, in most of you, there is a fury and a rage that is what is going on in that part of the world. And a part of you aligns very much with your own point of view, and I understand that. I am not making a political statement. I understand that. Your responsibility, however, is to acknowledge that you have that feeling and ask that the shape of that thought be changed. Ask that the shape and the feeling of your feeling be changed. That you somehow risk allowing yourself to change the shape of it intimately so that the globe will begin to take on more of the shape of what you are now creating. This is creative consciousness. It is the excitement. You know, in so many of the books that you read, I was thinking in one, of course, I can't possibly remember the title of it, where the magician is the last place, the hero within. Is that true? The hero, well, I think that's right. If not, well, let's pretend it's right. the hero within. It's a movement through all the different placements, through martyr and so on and so on and so on. And the last placement is the magician. And in the tarot deck, the magician card, what are we talking about? This is what we're talking about. We are talking about the shape changer. We are talking about the ability to use whatever is present without having to climb high mountains and descend into the depths of the sea, but to just shut up and sit down and be aware of everything that is present around you and choose to change the shape. If you're not happy, change the shape. Now, what most of you try to do is change their shape. Now, if you didn't look like that, if you didn't act like that, then I wouldn't be in this mess. Well, the fact is that have you ever really tried to change anybody, and have you watched the great success? Tremendous success, because you see, the wonderful thing about being a human, you have this ability, this surface ability, because you're great magicians, you know, you're just tremendous wizards in your own way. So you're able to change the face of things, the form of things, and not touch the interior at all. So everybody who's looking just believes, oh, how wonderful, they've changed. Whereas inside, everything can go on as business as usual, which means judgment as usual, resentment as usual, a sense of your own being right as usual. And the key here is the willingness to change that shape. Now, why? Why would you want to change it? I'm asking you, as we begin this next practice, to be aware of pain. Would you take your positions, please? It could be said about your limited nature. Now, I did not say your true nature. I said it could be said about your limited nature, which means your limited perception of who you are. It could be said that one of the things that's most difficult is to convince yourself of the need to change. The minute you have really decided to change something, you see again and again you can amass your energy and it can take place. For example, someone trying to stop smoking, absolutely nothing can be done until the whole mass of energy says, that's it. And then it happens. This happens over and over again. When you make the resolution to no longer deceive yourself by your own thoughts or your speech, when you decide to stop being self-pitying and always see yourself as the poor victim, when you make all of these inner decisions, things change. But they don't change until you have become alive to the necessity to change it. You see this all over in your world. All of you know that it would be wise for this country, this great, magnificent country of yours, to begin to conserve energy. But nothing's going on. Los Angeles is losing itself under a smog cloud. But nothing is changing. Why? I think it's right here that we have to meet the destiny of your life. I think it's right here where you have to sit down and claim that if you want changes, you must make them. And you make them seated quietly in your home, deeply immersed in your own being, and you begin the process. So let's do it. To begin with, please quietly go into your body and identify some kind of pain. I would like it, please, this time to be a physical pain, but please understand what I mean by that. Mental and physical pain are often greatly connected. It is very difficult to have a physical pain without your mind giving you some sort of a picture of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The mind doesn't go blank while you experience pain. You know, perhaps you would wish that it would, that the mind would go blank for any reason whatsoever, might be a great delight. But what happens is they play off each other. Your emotions play off the mind plays off the body, they all play off together. So what I'm asking you please to do is to locate within the physical body some kind of pain. If it is a physical pain, ask please to call in a mental picture. Did you understand? Identify the physical pain. Sit in it. Feel where it is. Let yourself feel it. And then as the next step, please ask to see a picture. Please do this for a few moments. We don't need the music. All right. Thank you. Of you who wish to, could you please share if what picture comes to mind, what the pain was and what the picture was? Anyone, please be willing to volunteer. Yes, Barbara.
If the pain was in my left ankle, and the picture I saw was just like
is a pain in the ankle, and then a box appears, a visual box with needle points going up and down.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you. In this world of yours, you have become so sophisticated, you have lost the talent to use your talents. I have told you again and again, visualization is one of the greatest talents that you have. It is a God-given gift. If you would just for a few minutes take seriously what we have just done, if you would take it in as a way of shape changing, you will begin to find that you have access to an incredible reservoir, not only of your own pictures, but of pictures of what we could call the unconscious. The unconscious, which is the place where your awareness deeply joins with the source of being. Do you understand? The unconscious is where you join deeply with the source of being. Another way of saying it, that layer which is the unconscious, which is the archetypical, where arises so many of the things that empower your world, it interfaces with this, with being. It is closest to it, which is why it is the place where the greatest help comes from. So that part of you, which is the small consciousness, has got to choose, my friends, to open up and to expand and to let in what I would call the unconscious awareness, so that you can begin to pull yourself out of your own limitations. You do not need a tremendous amount of outside help. You have the collected help already in place. You simply don't access it because you haven't been trained to access it, and I understand that. And therefore, you know, there was a time when they first discovered, lo and behold, that they rediscovered, you know, they've, you know, the great ones have always known it, that there is such a thing as what we would call the unconscious. When they finally discovered that not only was there a level of awareness that was unconscious, but that could serve as under certain circumstances, the first response was absolute terror. And they spent many, many years training many of your parents. If you have difficulty, many of you, with your parents, please understand that, and perhaps some in the 70s and onward here, in this world frame at the same time, that there was tremendous fear generated around this idea. And a whole world of imagery came up that it was going to be this teeming, dark, probably very hot and moist and slimy kind of area, and dark creatures slithered in and amongst the black, dark rocks that lurked under your... I'm not exaggerating. I am reflecting that when this wondrous discovery first broke through, as it did again in consciousness, the first response was terror. And that is still present in many of you as trace patterns of awareness. It is up to you. I have told you this again and again. I say it again. You are the outriders, which means it is your job to go across the terrain, to make your own assessments, to collect your own data, to do your own learning, your own transforming, your own understanding, and pass it on to the mule train that's behind you. Because it is like that. You know, I mean, I must be honest. You are the outriders. You're out there. Many of you have, you know, if there's one thing that can be said for the last, certainly from the 60s on, there have been a lot of outriders out there. And they have been doing outriding in whatever way was appropriate for them. And in all of the things that have happened in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, whatever kinds of difficulties, they have amassed a tremendous body of data. And if you can stand aside from your own judgments and resentments about how they did it and why they did it and what happened to their lives and what happened, whatever, if you can stand aside from that and allow yourself to see that they were deep sea divers and they didn't have very good equipment, but they did the best they could. You know, they just did it. They jumped in and they tried their best. And they ran into real truths. Just because your snorkeling equipment is faulty doesn't mean that the fish aren't real. The fish are as they are, right? And their truth, their reality, their beauty does not determine by the accuracy of your equipment. And so I ask you to release, if you will, please, those places, those compartments within you that have judgments against many of the things that have been discovered in the last 30 years. Allow them to begin to play and into your awareness. I am not recommending that you put on their suits and dive the way they did. That is not my point. I'm just asking you to be aware of and listen to and become appreciative, please, of the very true hard data that is being accumulated. Some of it is absolutely transformative if you will allow yourself to just think in those terms. Now, this whole arena that we have just gone through, if I had the ability If anyone who knows the truth of what I am about to say had the ability for an instant to move into your minds, into your awareness, and push aside the clouds so that you could see this, with all the love and the power in the world, it would be done. I've said it before, the great ones cannot take you with them, not because they don't want to, but because they cannot. Those in your history who have come before with the truths of consciousness would have in an instant passed on the vision, but it can't be done. And let me tell you why. Remember where we were in the middle of our morning. Your interfacing in your life, in your awareness with this energy is going to produce in you something absolutely unique. It is not going to be like someone next to you. You have the delight and the responsibility of creating in that moment of the merging of your willingness and the energy that's all around, you are going to create an entirely new shape. And your shape is not going to look like what Buddha saw. You are not going to see it the way Christ did. You're going to see it your way. And in that unique way that you see it, you are participating in the most magnificent creation. It's why you came. You came for this purpose, to create as a blending, to create a new face of God. I am telling you, it is the most holy thing you could possibly be here to do. People come and they say, oh, I want to open a, 80 people commune up in the mountains of so, and that's my focus. And I say, sounds boring to me. You came to create new faces of God, meaning you plus that. In this moment, using all of the openings that have been placed there by yourself and by all who traveled with you, to be able to change in the moment and to really see a new face of God. That's what it's all about. God is not just the same face over and over and over again. You're missing the beauty and the wonder and the majesty of why you're here and of what it's all about. So, let's practice. There are many tools that you can use to sculpt reality. Many, many, many tools. The one we're going to use this morning is that of imagination, and please do not say you cannot imagine. If you could not imagine, you wouldn't be here, because you imagine every moment. You already are a perfect exemplar of imagination. Right now, exactly as you are. Because you are constantly imaging and creating out of your imagery over and over again. What we are going to ask you to do is to become aware of the process, to become aware of how you do it. When you slow it down by practicing, you slow the process down and you get a feeling for how it's done. It goes so fast that you miss it. It goes, you create so quickly that you lose out on the process. And so when you slow down, things begin to take form. I'm afraid, one of the reasons that people have taken the drugs is that there are drugs that slow things down. They slow them down so much that some people fall asleep for the rest of their life, which is not a very positive outcome of a slowing down process. But nevertheless, their slowing down slows it down. Why do you think they sit in Zen meditation day after night after day? It's nothing more than slowing it down. And as you begin to slow things down, you begin to notice that there are spaces between thoughts, spaces between feelings. You are not constantly thinking, and you are not constantly feeling. There are gaps. And any deep meditation process has as its main objective to slow the mechanism down so that you can not only feel those spaces, but begin to see what is in the space. I will repeat. A part of that process is to slow it down so that you can feel what's between and to see what is between the spaces. Everyone who has had a bona fide spiritual experience has a visual experience. They see something. They see something. They either see the universe as ever extending out of their heart, all one, all whole, or they see endless, endless motion of magnificent waves of pure conscious light moving with perfect integrity and pattern and majesty throughout them and throughout the whole createdness. They feel total safety. If you begin to research what people have felt in their moments of enlightenment, or however you want to talk about it, you're going to begin to get more courage. You're going to begin to have what is now called the role model to look at. And, you know, you don't have to go 2,000 years. There's plenty of it happening right now in this world. Many things are being written in the last 100 years. Any kinds of ways to really begin to understand. And if you will just begin to imbue yourself with their vision of what they saw when they slowed the whole process down, you are going to have more faith in your own ability to do it. Because I will tell you something. Just as you know that where you sit is holy, full of integrity, full of wonder, absolutely appropriate, you also know that the same is true of everyone else. You know that you are the same. You know inside of your being that you are absolutely the same as anyone else. Fighting against that truth can be very painful. So, let us try the simple process of slowing it down. Now, one of the easiest ways is to just simply begin to follow the rising and falling of your breath. Because as you feel rise and fall of breath, you become aware that at the peak of rise, there is a gap. At the down of fall, there is a gap. Just that very natural rhythm of things puts you very strongly in the pattern of being able to observe that which is between. There is another way, and you choose, please, whichever pleases you, which as the music begins to move through you, as you begin to just listen, remember the question is, who's listening? As you ask this question, who's listening, and allow that music to move within you, it begins to change you. Remember, the whole process is things are changing constantly. And as you just quietly wait to have that music begin to move through you, you will begin to feel change. And you will begin to feel space between things. Let's experiment with that, please. I think 15 minutes would be enough. Thank you. Yes. So for the close, I want to remind you of something you know. Love is the greatest shape changer of all. It if you are in pain, because someone in your life has hurt you, if you would flood the field of your feeling tone with the statement, "I love you," over and over again, fighting your own resistance, not listening to your own justifications for your pain and anger, not listening to the voice that tells you of the righteousness of your withholding your love. If you do it moment after moment, and if need be, hour after hour, it will change. The reason that it works is because love is the strongest of all of the vortexes of God power. It is the purest in that it has no favorites. If you were to analyze the energy fields of consciousness that permeate this planet, there would be more love than anything else. It comes from the heart of God. And what it can do is to sweeten your heart . It can transform the feelings of your heart. People come and they say, "I want to open my heart." And I say, "Then love your enemies." And they say, "Think of something else." Love those that persecute you. They say, "There's got to be another way." But there is not another way. So if any of you in this room, and I imagine that includes all of you, have in a secret pocket somewhere in you a pain, someone who has offended you deeply, who has caused you days, weeks, or months, or years, in some cases, lifetimes of pain, there's only one way out. And it begins with saying 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times, holding the image of the person very clearly in mind, "I love you." As the days and weeks move, something magic happens. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for you. Because your heart is the one that aches. Your mind is the one that is gray and can see no life. It is the only way . If I were to say what I think is the greatest of all of the gifts of consciousness, it is this one. That by choosing moment after moment to verbalize and visualize again and again that which you seek to feel and know in your being, and to know that it will manifest, that is the gift. Do you want peace? Do you want a sense of creativity, of power, of wonder? And most of all, do you want love? Then you can have it. And all you have to do is the hardest thing of all, which is to love that which has persecuted you. I would like to thank you all for coming today. And before we close, I would like to explain why, at the close of every gathering, I say to you, thank you. Because you see, as you sit here, you are shape changers. Through all that we have done today, through all of the sharing, through all of what has happened, energy has changed its shape. That which you brought in with you is no longer as it was. You together have changed the shape of your own consciousness. And because the focus of this day was creative expansion and love, then what you have created is greater love and greater expansion. And since you cannot do anything on one side of the web without absolutely affecting other parts of the web, I thank you. Because what you have created today will move out into the network of consciousness and will find the place where it is most needed. And they will be blessed. And they will never know how. And it is for that that we thank you. We cannot do it without you. We cannot change the shape of consciousness of this planet without you. So please, help us. Each moment spent in love changes worlds beyond your imagining, and I am not speaking vastly and boldly and irresponsibly. It makes a difference. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.